start out by asking you standard questions, when and where you were born.
Okay. I was born in Fort Lewis, Washington. And you want my birthday too? Mm-hmm. Okay, August 10th, 1926.
Mm-hmm. So you were born in Washington State?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, where is from the chimney,
huh? Sitting out, it's set up on top of the chimney and just echoes down there. First time we moved up there, there was an owl that used to sit up there. And we were watching TV and the kids and I would, but you'd hear this woo-hoo down the chimney and it was hilarious. All this wildlife up here, the coyotes and the deer and the owls and the snakes and tarantulas even.
Okay. just dragging you.
Right.
I wanted to ask you, first of all, what your maiden name was.
Aldridge.
Aldridge?
Yes.
And what were your parents' names?
My mother's name was Opal Irene Atterbury, that was her maiden name, and my father's was Russell C. Aldridge, his middle name was Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
and he was a career Army man.
A career Army man.
Right, so I was an Army brat.
Uh-huh. Do you know anything about your grandparents on either side?
I don't know anything about my father's parents. He originally came from Massachusetts, and I've only met one relative on that side, and that was an aunt. And I don't even think he had much correspondence with him. He left home, joined the Army when he was, when he was old enough.
Mm-hmm.
And on my mother's side, I knew my grandfather and my grandmother. And my grandfather was born in Missouri, and my grandmother was born in Seattle, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
And they had always lived up there ever since I could ever remember.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather was a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother, just a grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know how your parents met?
No, I don't. I think they met. She'd gone to a roller skating rink, I think, if I can remember right, something like that. I think they had them back then, but that's a very vague memory.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
Was she living in Washington when she met him?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they met in Seattle, got married there, and let's see, first time we started to move around, I guess I just started, I guess I was in the first grade, and we started to move around the state of Washington,
mm-hmm.
and I went to so many schools because of that,
mm-hmm.
so we moved around all the United States also.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a well-rounded education.
Now, had your mother, had she been educated in Washington? Had she gone to school there? Or?
Yes. Uh-huh. Let's see. She graduated from Holy Names Academy. And I think she had some, college education, say like a business, business school, something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as anything more formal than that, I think that was about the limit of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she took classes later on, but up until, when she was young, that's all she had.
Mm-hmm. Had she worked before she married your father?
Yes. She did a little bit of secretarial work, but apparently not too much.
Mm-hmm.
And she worked after she got married for a while, but then that was later on. She and I, when I had this job during the war, she and I would go to work for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then before I got out of high school, she worked at Boeing's when we lived south of Seattle, and so she worked, I guess, as a secretary for someone at Boeing Aircraft in Renton.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you had, when you were, through most of your growing up years, she didn't work, though?
No, uh-huh. Not until I was about the last year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd come home and nobody would be there.
Mm-hmm.
House would be cold, and I felt sorry for myself.
do you know about how old she and your father were when they got married?
She must have been about 21, I think, because I was born, within the year after, they got married.
Mm-hmm.
I was, in other words, I came along rather quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an age difference between the two of them. I think he was like about 11 or 12 years older than she was, because he was in his early 30s and she was in her early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Yeah, I just vaguely remember that part.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And has she ever told you anything? Did she ever tell you anything about the day you were born? Or?
No, not too much. I can't remember if, well, I know being born at Fort Lewis, and they lived in Washington, so apparently she was driven all that way to the hospital down there.
Mm-hmm.
Why nothing closer? I guess there was nothing available.
Mm-hmm.
And only, you know, the typical thing that a mother every once in a while, sort of, when she sort of provoked at her child, you know, well, oh, I had such a difficult time giving birth to you and all that sort of thing, you know, and I heard that quite a few times. And
mm-hmm.
That sort of stuff.
Was in a hospital there that you were born?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And had, so your father, was he stationed at Fort Lewis?
No, he was stationed at Fort Lewis. I mean, Fort Lawton up there.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, if you know, for service families at that time, apparently that was the largest hospital and the closest one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was equipped, you know, for taking servicemen's wives and,
mm-hmm.
you know, in that situation. And apparently there wasn't anything at Fort Lawton at that, you know, that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that during that time and then after that, Fort Lawton grew a little bit more and it became where they could, you know, take care of more people.
Mm-hmm.
Because Fort, well, it was at Camp Lewis at the time, and then Camp Lewis grew, and so then they started calling it Fort Lewis. It was quite huge. Well, I guess it still is, but, you know, it just became much, much bigger.
Mm-hmm. Did, now, at the time, did your parents live on base?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. We lived within about a mile or so
mm-hmm.
of the post.
Mm-hmm. And, I have to remember in different branches of services that you're
right.
Base and Navy or something.
Yes, that's it, because I have to stop and think, too, every once in a while. Like, let's see, what branch of service was he in when I was born, and then what happened after that?
Yeah.
He was in the infantry when I was born, and then, like I said, you know, when we started in to move, he transferred over to the engineers. Now, I don't know if he asked for that transfer or if he just, you know, he just came along.
Mm-hmm.
But then he, well, let's just say he switched over to the engineers,
mm-hmm.
and it's what they call the topographical sections where they started, you know, they did all the surveying. And
mm-hmm.
so they were surveying in a lot of different sections and apparently a lot of the state of Washington that they would survey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where else they would go and how far out, I don't know, except that sometimes we would really be out in the boondocks. I mean, we would just, oh, way out. I mean, you'd have, I'd lived in places somebody would say, where's that? And I said, well, it's a little town up in the state of Washington. You know, you've driven around that Olympic Loop. Haven't you ever heard of it? No. And, well, all right. Like
yeah.
I said, it's out in the boondocks.
Yeah. So, you're saying you did, well, did you, did was he most of the time with the family, though?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And about the only time he was ever away, he would have, he'd have to go down what they call the range during the summertime. He'd have to go out, like, maybe summer maneuvers
mm-hmm.
or go out to the, you know, the range where they would practice shooting, this sort of thing, and he'd be away for just a short time, maybe a couple weeks, maybe a month.
Mm-hmm.
But he'd had foreign duty before he met my mother, and he was in the Philippines for a while. But outside of that, we followed him everywhere,
mm-hmm.
which meant a lot of packing up every once in a while and taking off down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the orders would come through rather suddenly, and we'd be gone in two or three days' time. And then
mm-hmm.
sometimes they would get rumor of it, well, you know, your father's going to be transferred someplace. Well, how soon? Well, we don't know. And then, well, we're going to go in about another month. Or then as I got older, I'd be in school and he'd be transferred, and so we'd stay behind while I'd finish maybe the quarter of the semester or something like that, and then we would move and catch up with him.
Mm-hmm.
We'd do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Was that, that means you went to a lot of different
schools. Oh, yes.
Schools.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You were mentioning, Juanita, before I move on to schooling. What year again were you born?
1926.
1926. Did you have any brothers and sisters?
Nope, the only one.
So you...
Spoiled rotten. Well, sort of, anyway.
Uh-huh. So did, in terms of making friends with all the moving around, was that hard, or did you manage to...
I managed, but I think I would make it more difficult for myself because I was extremely shy
mm-hmm.
at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And just about the time I'd get acquainted or I'd get over that shyness, then we would move again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think making friends was a little bit more of a difficult thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, people will react in a situation where, well, I'm not going to be here for very long, and so let's get acquainted real fast, and they would adjust to it that way. But I sort of held back for a while. Mm-hmm. And then when I finally did have a girlfriend, we had known each other for a couple of years, and then when I moved, and I moved from the West Coast back to the East Coast, and it was very difficult for that, when that friendship broke up for me. That was very difficult. Mm-hmm. Because she was about the only one that I think I had known for any length of time, and I was closer to her than a lot of my other friends. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, then when that shyness, you know, the initial shyness is over and you get acquainted, you come across some very interesting people in all these different places. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a, I don't know, it was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you moved mostly in the state of Washington?
Well, at first it was in the state of Washington, then we came down to Oregon, and then he was transferred back east. And we live in Virginia, in Georgia, Louisiana, and then we came back up to the West Coast again.
Was it, in terms of keeping up in school, were the school systems seem very different to you?
Yes, they were a lot different. In Washington now, I started out and I had the first grade there, started the second, but then apparently my mother decided that I had more intelligence than the average one, so anyway, by hook or by crook, anyway, I skipped the second and went into the third. And then everything went along, well, until, let's see, I got to the eighth grade, and I just was in the eighth grade for about a month, and that's when we went back east. Now, back on the East Coast, at that time, no, I don't think it's any different, but I'll just say at that time, mm-hmm. The seventh grade is the last year of grade school. So the eighth grade was the first year of high school. So I just went into the first, you know, the first year of high school. And I had to work a little bit because when we transferred, we went around by an army transport, and we were gone for about 3 weeks. So I had to work a little bit harder and finally caught up. And I guess I had about average grades through that because they certainly didn't put me back. Mm-hmm. Then we moved again. So by the time I graduated from high school, I was about the youngest one in my class, and I was 16. Mm-hmm. So it didn't interfere too much with my education. I've plowed ahead ever since. Uh-huh. And then, you know, I wasn't held back. I just would have to work a little bit harder at times.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were growing up, were most of the places that you were living in houses that were off the coast?
Oh, yes. Yeah. There was one time we lived on the post. And okay, that was when we went back to Virginia, and that was Fort Belvoir. And we were given quarters on the post, and we had this very lovely brick home. And at that time, he was a non-commissioned officer. He was a, let's see, I can't remember, the staff sergeant, first sergeant, some one of those grades right through there. But we had very lovely quarters on the post. And then also, I had the choice of either going to the first year high school on that post, or I could get the school bus and go into Washington, D.C. to the high school there. Mm-hmm. And so I decided, well, I think my mother probably decided for me, but I would stay on the post and go to school. And we only had a half-a-day session. We had all the five subjects, and then we had lots of homework, because then even though we got out at noontime, didn't have to go back, we had enough homework that it just kept us off the street, so to speak, the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. But I got all the algebra and all the other stuff that I needed for that mm-hmm. first year. Huh. And there was only 10 in the class, and I remember two or three very interesting field trips because the teacher could pour us all into one car and we could go places. Mm-hmm. So I think we got to do a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And then when it snowed, that was even great. You'd go plowing through the snow to school.
Yeah. Did you, were the friends that you were making, and besides, were they mostly other kids whose folks were in the service? Or?
Well, we lived on the Army post, yeah. It was mostly servicemen's families there, naturally, and, well, they had some civilian employees, so there was one or two, you know, children that would have a, you know, from a civilian family, but the rest of the time, we didn't know that many service families, so it was just neighborhood kids and mm-hmm. kids in the grade school, mm-hmm. and so mostly, let's see, what do you call it, layman's children.
Yeah, civilian, okay. Were there, any games or kinds of activities when you were growing up that you enjoyed playing?
Oh, yes. I used to like it when we the kids, the whole gang of us would be out in the street and we'd be playing something or mm-hmm. the roller skating or bicycling or something. And there used to be, well, I didn't have a bicycle. Well, not one that would work too well. And so maybe some of the neighborhood kids, you could always finagle a ride with them. But, mm-hmm. You know, like during summer evenings, it would be very warm, you know, and the kids would be out after dark. And mm-hmm. oh, you could play hide and go seek, you know, and of course you always had to be by a lamppost, this sort of thing. And I used to love doing that. That was great.
Mm-hmm. And the games you play, were they boys and girls together, or?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Was there any point where maybe like girls played separately from them, or was it?
No, we were, sometimes maybe the girls would get together and they would do something, but it would mostly just be all the neighborhood kids, and it would be a pretty good age range also.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, I don't know, we just took it for granted. There's nothing like, oh, you shouldn't be playing with the boys, otherwise you... something terrible is going to happen, or, you know, in other words, no evil connotations on that,
mm-hmm.
nothing.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of clothing did you wear
growing up? I can remember my mother making me a lot of dresses, and during the winter, she insisted putting me in these long brown cotton socks, and I'd have to wear these long socks, and it would just be, oh, humiliating. And then when I was very young, because I guess I was rather rambunctious, instead of her putting me, you know, say, into boys' pants or anything, she would make bloomers out of flower sacks. Oh, gad. And I used to think that was terrible, too. And that was another reason why it kept me kind of shy. I'd go slinking around the corners like, oh, heavens, these long brown socks and these bloomers. And, oh, terrible. And I guess it wasn't until, well, let's see, women didn't wear pants that much at that time. And I guess I didn't get off into slacks or anything until later on in high school,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, then, you know, when the war came along with, you know, women going into defense work, they had to wear pants. And so that was when, you know, the fashions began to change then.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother made most of my clothes.
Yeah. I know you were quite young during most of these years,
yeah.
Did the depression affect your family much?
Not that I can remember, because with my father being in service, they always seemed to have some sort of an income.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there wasn't that much money that we could do, you know, great things or anything, but I never remember any problem as far as food. Of course, being that age, seemed to me there was always a clothing problem, and I don't know if that was because I wanted something a little bit fancier, and she would say, well, I can't afford it. Well, couldn't you afford it because you didn't want to afford it, or can't we really not afford it?
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't anything, nothing luxurious as far as clothes. In other words, nothing really fancy party dress,
mm-hmm.
nothing like that, because she would always do a lot of sewing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first car we ever had. And that's very vague, but it was a Model T sedan. I think there were such things. I remember having pictures of it. I remember my father picking me up in grade school a couple of times. And, oh, I used to think he was a wild driver. My mother would have fits over it. And so, and then I don't know whatever happened to that car, because the next one I remember, it was a Model T coupe. And my father wouldn't be seen. And, it's just vague memories of that. He just didn't want to be in that darn car. And my mother would drive it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when he would be transferred, we'd fall around on that Model T. And then the next car, which I thought was quite luxurious, we had a brand new 1936 Chevrolet coupe.
Mm-hmm.
And the three of us would load up the car with the cat and the dog, and away we'd go in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the depression, nope, I can't remember. I don't remember any hardships from that.
Mm-hmm.
Always had food and clothes, and that was about the extent of it.
Mm-hmm. Did you live in apartments or houses?
Houses,
uh-huh.
Yeah. I think we only had, let's see, we had some small houses. There was one time we lived in an apartment, and it was a very old home with an old couple, and they would rent a couple of rooms so that they could help themselves, you know, financially.
Mm-hmm.
And we had two rooms in the upstairs of this old house. There was a living room kitchen kind of combination, and then there was one large bedroom that we had, and they weren't connected. You had to come out into the hall. It was like on the landing area, say upstairs. You come out of one door and you close that, and then you go into the other door.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a connected view. It was like renting, you know, two rooms in someone's old house.
Mm-hmm.
Can't think of any other apartments except that particular one.
Mm-hmm. What was your sense of, in terms of your father's income and things, growing up, did you feel like you were pretty much about like everyone else in the same situation everyone else was in, or a little better off, or?
No, I think we were about average. We might have even been a little bit less, because I guess in particular the time, see, he was a sergeant when I was born, and I guess the income at that time was not that much.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how it was in comparison to everybody else, I don't know, but I think my mother did a lot of pinching pennies.
Mm-hmm.
So we could have been better off, and I never would have known it, or we really weren't that well off.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my clothes also would come from the Goodwill. I remember her picking things out at the Goodwill. Now, whether we had to or whether she just did this to save money, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of course, when I would go to school, you'd always see somebody better dressed, which I think is normal. When you go to school, there's always someone that would have, a new dress for every day, or, you know, whatever the thing is, you know, now. I remember that time. Well, the high school girls, it was a great thing, I think, was to have cashmere sweaters. And I remember one girl, she just seemed like she had cashmere sweaters, a different one for every day of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Never the same one twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to think, oh boy, that girl really has a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we were probably just a little bit lower than average.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned school. Were there subjects in school that you liked better than others?
Yeah, I remember I used to hate arithmetic for a while until I think my mother would help me to a point of where, oh, so that's how arithmetic problems work, and then that became a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I liked geography and history quite well. Nothing really stands out in grade school, except that there was one class where I would be where they would have you working. Now here we go with the tool thing again. They would have us, we had a bag of tools. We would have a small hammer and nails and a coping saw. And so once a week, it seemed to me there was a short time during the day we'd get to work on something, we'd get to saw something out.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that very vaguely. But then as we went through high school, then I got off into the science tangent, and I just loved science. I loved chemistry and, I don't like literature also.
Mm-hmm.
I think my worst subjects were like economics or sociology, that sort of subject.
Mm-hmm.
I would tend more towards, the literature and the history would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember anything just standing out, I would love that subject. There's nothing that I can rave about at this particular moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When you were, I'm sure I had all the switches.
Oh dear, go back.
For a second, I glanced over and looked like,
oh no!
But,
now what did I say?
When you were growing up, say, around the house, what kinds of chores would you have to do?
I can't remember doing too much. I can't remember being forced to dry the dishes or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being told to clean my room once in a while. I can't remember being told to chop any firewood or take out the garbage or things like that. I think I sort of got away with murder for a while.
Mm-hmm.
My mother taught me to sew at a very early age, and that was fine. I remember, being taught, handwork. But as far as chores, no, nothing in particular.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't behave yourself, you're going to have to wash the dishes for a month or anything like that. There was never anything like along that line.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you bring it up, now I realize, I guess I did get away with murder.
Mm-hmm.
No specific responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. When you reached an age, say, of puberty, or as you were approaching, say, the first time you had your period, did your mother talk to you at all beforehand about?
No, not a bit.
Mm.
The first day, I mean, when my period first started, it was during the summertime, and I guess it was just before my 13th birthday. And I woke up with these horrible cramps, and I thought, oh my gosh, what's happened? Petrified. And when I first saw the first drop of blood, I, scared silly. And I just, you know, I screamed, I'm like, Mother, what's wrong with me? And the only explanation I got out of her was that this would go on for the rest of my life, and this would happen once a month, and this is what happens, and that's all there is to it. And I was still wearing those silly bloomers. And instead of having, you know, the belt for the pad or anything like that, mm-hmm. I had to fasten those silly pads inside my pants with safety pins. Mm-hmm. She never told me to wear that thing at night, and this was just, worst experience I think I'd ever imagined. It just, mm-hmm. I didn't know what it was all about, mm-hmm. and it just really threw a terrible fear in me.
No, so she never explained to you why?
No. Her reason was she didn't know particularly that much about it. Mm-hmm. And this went on, well, I had to sneak around to get my information, my girlfriend, we were living in Portland at the time, and my girlfriend down the street had found some book in her parents' house, and we'd sneak off in her closet and read this book. It was like, what was it, eugenics or something like that, and we thought we were reading this terribly filthy book, so we had some information from that standpoint, mm-hmm. and she didn't know much more than I did. And then when I got through high school, and like I said, I was very young when I graduated, I worked in the library in a small library part-time. And the librarian finally decided, well, she could, you know, trust me, I knew the responsibility of checking books in and out and things like this. And she told me there were books down below the counter, never to let them out unless someone had a written permit from a doctor. Well, what else are you going to say that will stir somebody's curiosity up even more than that? Books under the counter? Nobody's supposed to read? Ooh, goody, goody books. So one was that it was a marriage sociology book. And I guess, you know, in other words, the facts of life. And no one would come in the library for hours. And that's when I first got the right information. What was this all about? This was the normal thing. Oh, so that's what's going on in my body. Mm-hmm. And when I went on to college, I changed majors a couple of times, but I wound up with a biological science degree. Mm-hmm. So naturally, when you're taking all these biology classes, you get into the reproductive system and this sort of thing. And I finally pinned my mother down one day, why didn't you ever tell me? Well, she says, I figured you'd find out by yourself, and I didn't know that much, and I figured that also you've taken biology classes, so you know more about it than I do now. Mm-hmm. And that's how I became aware of the facts of life.
Mm-hmm. So she never talked to you about sex, you
know? No, except that men were dirty, and this was something terrible. Mm-hmm. And when I got married, why in the world do I want to get married? Or, when I would embroider pillowcases for my hope chest, why did I want to do that when he'd have his dirty old head on them at night? And I thought, well, that's funny. You embroidered them, and my father sleeps with his head on a pillowcase. Mm-hmm. Now, what's wrong with that? You know, why is your situation any different than mine? Mm-hmm. But men were beasts. Mm-hmm. They were dragons that came out of caves someplace. And mm-hmm. you should step on them and squash them like a bug, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So, she didn't, other than just sort of saying that, though, there was no explanation for why they were beasts. Or
No. Mm-hmm. It was just a... They were just something that you had to put up with. They were very foul and filthy. And mm-hmm. and sometimes she and I would go downtown and shop. We'd be walking along a city street, and she could always pick out someone, and she'd say, now, see that old man over there? He's a very evil old man. Yeah, he's a dirty old man. And I'd go, how do you know that? You don't even know him. And I look at this person, you don't look so bad to me. No, what does my mother see that I don't see? Mm-hmm. And I would never question her as to what makes that person so dirty. She'd say, well, the way she'd go on a little bit further on her own. She'd say, well, the way he walks. All right.